Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Then looking in further in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. All of Psalm 112. And then finally, verses 1 to 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 12. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and he, through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the sea shore. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is such a powerful gift, such a unique gift. Your word is you, and your word blesses us as we're wise enough by your mercy and grace to take time to read and meditate on it and listen to you and draw on your blessing and your goodness as we read and meditate on it day by day. Father, set us all on fire afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be diligent students of your word, and that would encourage us to be diligent, obedient servants who are doers of your word, hearing and doing your word each and every day. Thank you for the opportunity to do just that as a lifestyle. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much that we get to spend this time just listening for what you have for us today. Father, I ask that you'd speak to and through Pastor Joseph, that you'd prepare our hearts, that you'd open our minds, you'd open our ears. And Father, I ask that whatever we hear from you today, that you'd bring fruit from it, that we would apply ourselves to your truths, and that we could partake in your kingdom even more and more. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Today, we're looking at the topic specifically, the high calling of being a godly man. Again, the high calling of being a godly man. And, you know, when we look in the Word of God, it's so important for us to recognize that we take our guidance, our wisdom, our counsel from the Word of God, because the reality is, you know, if you take 100 different men, you might get 100 different definitions of what a real man is. But specifically today, we're looking at what a real godly man is. So as we look at the topic, the high calling of being a godly man, remember this, the world has been blessed down through the centuries by people that know God, that knew God, men who knew God and lived for God. Now, keep in mind, obviously, God used men and women throughout history and without question who knew God, who were godly in their character. But today we're focusing specifically on men in particular. So as we look at the topic again, the topic, the high calling of being a godly man, we want to draw on the portraits of men that are good role models for us in Scripture. Now, of course, Jesus is our only perfect role model, and he's the greatest role model we have, and we're always to seek to imitate him. But we can learn from other godly men in Scripture as well. You know, I think of this, for example, in the Bible, one of the best loved scriptures in all of the Word of God, of course, is Psalm 23. Psalm 23, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by King David. Psalm 23 tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." All of Psalm 23. Keep in mind, King David, of course, again, the author inspired by the Holy Spirit of Psalm 23. King David wrote close to half of this. I think it's around 73 Psalms, close to half of the Psalms in the Word of God. And next to Jesus, King David is one of our greatest role models. Now, not perfect, obviously by any means, because we see David made some big mistakes, like most all of us make some big mistakes in life. But the fact is, overall, his lifestyle was one of such that the Lord himself referred to King David as a man after his own heart. Every man listening, actually every man and woman listening, obviously, but every man listening should seek to be a man after God's own heart. You know, for example, reading and studying Scripture needs to be one of the high priorities of every man that really wants to know God and serve God. Remember, Jesus is our great and mighty good shepherd. And the Word of God is the voice of the shepherd. We need to be listening to the voice of our shepherd continually. So reading and meditating on Scripture allows us to hear the voice of our shepherd. God speaks to us by his word and his spirit as well. And so we're to live in a listening mode. So as men who want to serve and honor God, then one of the high priorities of our lives is that of listening to God a lot. So reading and studying on Scripture daily, diligently, is very, very important for any man that wants to really honor God in his life. So may we all seek to be diligent students of his word. And as Psalm 1, the first scripture that we shared, very specifically points out the importance of what we do and don't listen to. Again, the first portion of that psalm, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. We as godly men are wise to come to the place, to grow to where we delight in the word of God. We enjoy spending time one-on-one with our Heavenly Father, because as you're reading the word of God, you're spending time one-on-one with Jesus. He's speaking words of wisdom, power, grace, and life into our lives, our spirits, our minds that will bless us and equip us to be the godly men God would have us to be. Father, anoint every man listening with a fresh anointing. Set us on fire fresh with a passion for your word, and set us on fire fresh with a passion that would encourage us to become the diligent students of Scripture you'd have us to be, and that would also encourage us to be the diligent doers of your word that you would have us to be as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, the second psalm that we read as well, Psalm 112, it too points out the importance of being a diligent student of Scripture. So to every man listening, if you don't already have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a good day to start that habit. Yes, the Word of God is the key to everything in life. The Word of God is the key to all of life, and the Word of God is Jesus. So spending time in the Word of God, I can't overemphasize how important that priority needs to be in the life of every godly man that wants to live a life that honors the Lord. So if you're not reading it every day, today is a great day to start that very, very important habit. Also, we're called to be men of prayer. The scripture that we quote at the beginning of the broadcast, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, the first characteristic we're really trying to really drive home to every man listening is the need to be a diligent student of Scripture. So starting the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible today is a great way to start down the road and on the journey of being a godly man. And a second very important critical goal and habit is that of praying every single day. Every godly man is called to be a man of prayer. One of the outstanding characteristics of some of the greatest men in the Word of God was they were great men of prayer. The fact is, obviously, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he had the habit of getting up early and going off by himself and praying every morning. Mark 1:35 points out that before daylight, he got up early in the morning and went off alone to pray. How important it is that you and I have time where we really make time, set apart time for prayer, spending time with one-on-one with our Heavenly Father. Jesus was obviously a great man of prayer. Daniel was a great man of prayer. He would pray 3 times a day. David was a great man of prayer. He would seek God's guidance and help and direction before going into battle. And as a lifestyle, he sought God. Solomon was a man of prayer. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all men of prayer as well. We are all wise to learn from the prayer lives of great individuals in all of the Word of God. So again, today we're looking at the topic, the high calling of being a godly man. So I do want to share from, one of the critically important things I want you to keep in mind too is that, once again, as we share article titles, please email us and ask us to get copies of them. A couple of the articles that we want to encourage you to email us for is the one entitled The Blessed Habit of Reading God's Word Every Day, and another one, A Portrait of Real Manhood. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
To retreat, I got some dreams that are bigger than me. I might be outmatched, outsized, the underdog in the fight of my life. Is it so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me the waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. You keep on making me see it's way beyond me. Trading it all for the plans you got. Is this so crazy to believe that you gave me the stars, put them out of my reach? Call me the waters a little too deep. Oh, I've never been so aware of my need. Yeah, you keep on making me see.
The music of Toby Mac with Beyond Me. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the high calling of being a godly man. Father, thank you for every man listening. Thank you for every parent listening. And thank you for the opportunity you give us both as men and as parents with the goal of molding our boys to grow up to become godly men. Empower us to recognize, Lord, that every believing man is called to be a godly man, a man after your own heart. Help us to be diligent in seeking to live a lifestyle that does just that. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, to every man listening, we're encouraging you, if you don't have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a great day to start, because that's a very important habit for any man that wants to honor God as a truly godly individual that will do great work for God. A big part of staying close and intimate with our Heavenly Father is being a diligent student of Scripture. Another very important part of that is your prayer life, spending time in prayer every day. And in fact, the Word of God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it tells us to pray without ceasing. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us how to do that and to set us on fire with the Spirit of prayer in a way that we would be empowered to do that. But may it be our goal to be men who are diligent students of God's Word, and men of prayer, as well as men who live what we learn from the Word of God. I want to share with you an article we've shared before, but it draws on a number of important issues that help us to see the need for us to be godly men. The title of the article, A Portrait of Real Manhood. The headlines of our day are screaming at us, letting us know where some of the real problems are with men in our culture. Many men, quote unquote, look the part, are outstanding athletes who are highly gifted with much potential, physical prowess, and many characteristics that our society greatly admires. Yet tragically, so many of our young men don't know and have not been mentored, taught, trained, or schooled in what real manhood is and what it's all about. One's prowess on the basketball court or the football field or the soccer field or the baseball diamond, which can translate into money, may be admirable in its place, but it tells those who admire that kind of person basically nothing about how much of a real man that particular person really is. Today, there's a tremendous need for men in particular and society as a whole to get a clear picture of what a real man looks like. This picture depicts his heart, his mind, and his perspective. It's from the Word of God that we can find the characteristics of what a real man is. No one knows the most important characteristics of the male better than God does. So let's look at His Word and paint a proper portrait. Some of the characteristics of a real man include, 1, he's received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. See John 3:16 and Romans 10:9. And he seeks to be a man like David after God's own heart. See Psalm 23. 2, he seeks to read the Word of God daily for himself. See Psalm 1 and Psalm 119, verse 105, that tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 3, he spends time in prayer daily. See Mark 1:35 and Philippians 4:6-7 and Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. Number 4, he seeks to bring the family together to read the Word of God, teach from the Word of God, and pray together on a regular basis. See Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 1-9 and Ephesians 6 verses 1-4. Number 5, this man takes and or makes time to teach, train, discipline, and instruct his children, teaching them about God and teaching them wisdom for all heirs of life. See Deuteronomy 6, verses 1-9, Proverbs 2, verses 1-9, and Proverbs 3:1-2, and Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1-6. Number 6, this man seeks to take his family to church regularly, such as worship service on Sundays and Bible studies on Wednesdays. See Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Hebrews 10:24-25. Number 7, he has a sense of mission in his life. He seeks with passion to fulfill the specific call of God on his life, whatever that calling may be. See Romans 12, verses 1-2, and Colossians 3, verses 1-3. Number 8, he works hard to provide for his family. See 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And remember, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. See Genesis chapter 2. Number 9, this man is a protector of his family. See Matthew chapters 1-2. And then number 10, this man lives the life of a good role model for his family and others. See Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And number 11, this man has the wisdom and the courage to take responsibility to deal with problems head on. He takes responsibility and doesn't run from responsibility. See 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Being a real man is much more than just being able to father a baby. A godly man has a love for God and a maturity and an authority about him that sets him apart. A real man seeks God and is seeking to fulfill his God-ordained purposes for his life. A real man has perspectives that are biblical and honorable. A real man is someone who understands that women and girls are special and precious. They're to be honored and protected. That's a part of his calling, to honor them and protect them. Real men understand that women are not objects to conquer or persons to be disrespected and used. A real man respects and honors women and girls. A real man does not take advantage of women. He will not be involved with a woman sexually unless he has won her heart and has put a ring on her finger and married her first. He understands that sex is for a man and a woman who are married to each other. He knows that he's never to have a sexual relationship with any woman other than the woman that is his wife, period. A godly man is a man who has clearly decided to leave the actions and attitudes of boyhood behind. His mind, his thinking, his heart, his actions, and his attitude now seek to reflect biblical maturity. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11-13. Boys ask questions while men give answers. Boys play house while men build homes. Boys shack up while real men get married. Boys too often abuse and misuse girls and women. Men protect, appreciate, honor, and look out for females. Real men don't hit women. They protect them. Boys too often consider a woman an object to be used. Men see a woman as a gift and a prize to be honorably pursued and won. Boys make babies while men have and raise children. A boy won't raise his own children. A man will guide, teach, discipline, and train his own children and someone else's when the need arises. Boys make excuses for failure, while real men produce ways and strategies to succeed. Boys look for someone to take care of them, while men look for someone to take care of. Boys drop out of school saying that school is too hard and a waste of their time. Real men recognize the importance of and the value of education and preparation and skill. Real men desire to be educated and or to gain a skill in order to reach their full potential in life. The world is in tremendous need of faithful and godly men. Pray that God will raise up men who understand the important place and call of God upon them to be men after God's own heart, in their home and in society and culture as well. Again, the title of that article is A Portrait of Real Manhood. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Father, thank you for us as the church. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to be able to disciple men and women, boys and girls, and thank you for that opportunity. Father, help us as the church to do what you would have us to do, to focus specifically on the need of discipling men in particular as you would have us to. Help us to teach men to be the leaders you've raised them up to be in the world as a whole, in their own home, and in every other area of life that you'd have them to be, have us to be the leaders you want us to be. Help us to grow in our understanding of the need to be leaders and our ability to carry out that very important responsibility in all the ways you would have us to in life. Father, more and more, help us as the church to do all that you've called us to do, to raise up godly men, to live for your glory. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Another article that we've shared, but want to invite you to email us to get a copy of, is entitled, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? And, you know, as you may hear us often speak of this, where our encouragement is that you'll take the time to pray Psalm 91 every day. And to every man listening, every godly man listening, our encouragement is definitely that you'll pray Psalm 91 over yourself and over your family every day. Because remember, in this dangerous, crazy world, no one can protect you like the Lord can. Again, the title of this article, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Are you making it a priority to pray Psalm 91 every single day? If not, why not? A common response to this question may very well be, well, I'm not a fanatic and I don't see a need to pray this particular scripture every day. Well, if that is you, I believe you would be wise to change your mind and to begin to pray this prayer daily. Why? We live in a crazy, dangerous world that includes spiritual warfare that rages everywhere you go. We who are followers of Christ need to be warrior-minded in our approach to how we follow and live for Christ in this dangerous world for ourselves and for our own families and in the world as a whole. In times of war, you look at, perceive, and plan everything in your life very differently in almost every way than you would during peacetime. Your whole perspective needs to be different. Certain priorities are critical every day because you are at war and you're living life on a battlefield. Not being alert, making unwise decisions, or moving without a sense of urgency, any and all of these actions in wartime can literally cause someone to get killed. Again, praying Psalm 91 daily is very, very wise. Psalm 91 is a unique weapon in Scripture that addresses many of the perils in life that any believer can face on any given day. Using this weapon daily helps us to be prepared for many of the attacks the enemy, the devil, may utilize against us consistently. Praying Psalm 91 daily helps us to mobilize the Holy Spirit and the angels of God to protect us and to work on our behalf. Know this, in this dangerous and difficult world we live in, again, no one or nothing can protect you like God can. Let's take time to pray it even now. Lord, thank you for all the believers that are listening. Thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for each member of each and every one of our families and extended families as well. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today I say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the most high habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent, we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, the title of that article, Are You Praying? The title of that article is, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? If you'd like to get a copy of this or any of the articles that we've shared today, simply email us again at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And to every man listening, we're encouraging you to make it your goal. If you've not already been doing it, as of today, begin to pray this every single day of your life over yourself and over your family. Because remember, praying it is a wonderful tool for mobilizing the grace and the mercy of God that's available to us and putting it to work on our behalf. So we encourage you, pray Psalm 91 every day for you and your family in this dangerous, crazy world. Also, our encouragement to every man listening, pray Psalm 91 over yourself daily. Lord, thank you for each one of us. Bless each and every one of us. Indeed, expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mighty upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, the prayer of Jabez, a wise prayer to pray every day if you want God to use you more and more. We're looking today at the topic, the high calling of being a godly man. We'll be right back.
Sometimes the night was beautiful. Sometimes the sky was so far away. Sometimes it seemed to stoop so close. You could touch it, but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon. Sometimes the day could be so hot. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my and I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Sometimes I think of Abraham, one star he saw had been lit for me. He was a stranger in this land, and I am that no less than he. And on this road to righteousness, sometimes the climb can be so steep. I may falter in my steps, but never be. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step,
of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we've been looking at the topic, the high calling of being a godly man. And our encouragement is that each of us as men seek to step up and be the godly man God has called us to be. And also parents, may it be a critical goal for each of us to do our part to help mold and shape our boys to grow up to be men who know and love Jesus Christ and live for his glory and seek to honor God in living as a godly man is called to live. In this final segment, I want to share one more article that addresses the life issue. It's entitled Men, Life, and Abortion, and then I want to expound on it because it goes beyond this issue, but this issue critically needs to be addressed from a Bible perspective in our culture. So again, the title of this article, Men, Life, and Abortion. Again, Men, Life, and Abortion. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Then Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Again, Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. Then Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Again, Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. In our nation, it's commonly said that abortion and abortion rights are about a woman having the right to choose what to do with her own body. This is one of the ongoing claims of pro-choice people who are sold out to the tragedy of abortion. However, if the concern is really about a woman's quote-unquote right to choose, then consider a huge issue that is being profoundly ignored in our culture today. Statistically speaking, men are the driving force behind many, many abortions. And what a tragedy it is that men are very often the engines behind so many abortions in our culture. Allow me to share a scenario that is tragically too common in our culture today. A man, often a boyfriend, yet sometimes a husband, upon learning that his girlfriend or wife is pregnant, will sometimes become very upset. Often he'll become angry and ask typically a stupid question. How did this happen? His actual thoughts may very well be, why didn't you do all you could to prevent this with all the birth control methods and means there are? Often he will then selfishly make another statement like this one. I'm not ready to be a daddy, or we can't afford a baby. How could you have let this happen? Then the next words from his mouth may very well be, you will get an abortion. Do you understand? There's no need for discussion. And in many cases, the woman involved does exactly what her boyfriend or husband demands. Though it is very often stated that this issue is about a woman's right to choose, in such a case, is she really choosing? In many such instances, you have a woman who either wants to keep her baby, or you have a woman who is on the fence and undecided. Then, upon receiving the reaction of her boyfriend or husband, she often will decide, I better do what he says. Again, this situation is extremely common in our culture and very tragic. Even though it is said that it's her quote-unquote right to choose, too terribly often she's being coerced or more or less forced to have an abortion against her will. Now, it's actually against the law to force or coerce a woman to have an abortion if she wants to keep her baby. Tragically, though, many women don't know that this is the law in all 50 states. Many of them do not realize that the law is on their side. Many men do not know that this is the law either. Also, sadly, many men don't care. So it's not hard to see that even though many claim that they want to maintain a woman's right to choose, this is actually not really the goal for many who are pro-choice. Time and time again in this sad situation, The woman is not choosing at all. The man is. There's an overwhelming need for persons who know and understand the law in this situation to help inform more people of the law. It can be done by word of mouth, obviously, yet two very helpful resources are the Dear Client Letter or the Dear Parent Letter, found at www.thejusticefoundation.org from the Justice Foundation Ministry based in Texas. Churches and schools should get copies of these items or similar resources to help people come to know and be informed of the law. Men have too often taken a woman's right to choose life away. They've done exactly what they should not have done, demanded an abortion. This situation needs to end. The ignorance and selfishness of our culture have already done way too much damage. Any concerned individual can help spread the word about these available resources. Again, the title of this article, Men, Life, and Abortion. Now, let me expound briefly on some important topic issues that were brought up here. Number one is, sadly, it's sad to think that men will not stand up for their own flesh and blood. Again, time and time again, obviously in situations like this, that's his child. Yet, sadly, you have men that, again, to be quite honest, they're not being men in their thinking. They're being wimps. Real men stand up for their own and stand up for what's right and will take responsibility. Remember, that's his flesh and blood. That's his child. So his attitude should be that he's going to stand up and help take responsibility and help raise and take care of that child. That's what his action should be. But let me back up a little bit further than that. It's so important for us as the church, we as pastors and we in leadership in the church, to do our job to disciple people. We're to spread the gospel so that people will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then we're to teach them to follow the word of God. One of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not commit adultery. Sex is to be between a married man and woman and nowhere else. So if we would follow the word of God, that scenario wouldn't even have to happen time and time again. But the reality is you have many a men and woman who are ignoring the counsel of God's word to keep ourselves until we're married. Now, for men out there that say they can't help themselves, that's a lie straight from the devil. We can keep ourselves before we get married if we choose to as godly men. That's a choice that we choose to make. We can choose as men and women to keep ourselves until we're married, if we choose to. The word of God is clear. Sex is for married men and women, no one else. Not between boyfriend and girlfriend, not between casual friends, not between two boys or two girls. So the fact is, if we follow God's word, we won't have to deal with this tragedy time and time again. But when people go down that road, remember, real men will take responsibility. They'll stand up and say, that's my child. Yes, I'm going to take care of that child. Yes, I'm going to support this child. Yes, I'm going to do my part. That's what real men do. Again, sadly, it's wimps that say, I'm not ready to be a daddy. Let's go take care of it and run down and get an abortion. How tragic. How tragic, because sooner or later, everyone regrets that decision. It's important that we, the church, teach and train men to be godly men, to think and carry ourselves in a godly way, following the counsel of God's word. And if and when we make one mistake, don't make another one by violating the word of God again. The Bible says, you shall not murder. There's never an instance where an abortion is right. None, under no circumstances. And tragically, because the reality is, abortion is simply another word for first-degree murder. And as harsh as that might sound, you know, the truth sometimes sounds harsh. But the truth is just the truth. Abortion is another word for first-degree murder. Now, the Word of God does tell us, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will God forgive a person for having an abortion or being a part of it? Yes, he will. Confess it, repent of that sin, and ask God to forgive you, and certainly he'll do it. But it's important, let's not keep going down that road. It always leads to tragedy because 100% of the time when an abortion is carried out, an innocent baby dies. It's important that we stand up for the word of God. The challenge to every man listening, be a godly man who's guided by the word of God in the things we say and the things we do and the priorities we set. And we'll stand up for what's right including Stand Up for Unborn Babies. If that's your child, say, that's my child, and yes, I'm going to take care of that child. The high calling of being a godly man is a very important calling, and our culture desperately needs to work at. The church needs to desperately need to help and encourage men to be the godly men God would have us to be. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us as the church to do a job of excellence in discipling men to be godly men after your own heart. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we usually do before we end the broadcast. If you are listening and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me now and give your life to Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so, so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You live. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray and talk to you daily. Help me to live a life of obedience to your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and put down roots deep. We hope that you will get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you wanted to get copies of any of the articles that we shared, again, we'll be glad to get those to you as well. Articles including, Are You Praying Psalm 91 Every Day? And A Portrait of Real Manhood. And then Men, Life, and Abortion. If you'd like to get one or all three articles, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening again. Today we were looking at the topic, the high calling of being a godly man. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.